Hey guys, how are we doing tonight? Today, not night yet. Y'all good? All right, all right. I appreciate Marshall asking me to come again this year. I enjoy coming and seeing everybody, obviously, but getting to speak, the Word of God is amazing in itself, isn't it? And so we're actually going to, the subject he gave me was actually speaking truth. And so the scripture he gave me was in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. So let's turn there real quick. 1 Peter 3:10. It says, actually, I'm going to start in verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. Let's pray. Almighty and wonderful God, Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you and praise you so much for this weekend, for the great speakers that have come, and Father in heaven, who have brought out your word and aspects of your word that we may not have seen before. And we're so thankful, Father, for that, that we can get a deeper understanding of who you are. And Father in heaven, the reality that exists because of you. And we ask, Father, that you give us guidance through your spirit and watch over us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Truth. Okay. Well, here it actually doesn't say speak truth. It says don't speak deceit, right? Well, obviously, the opposite of truth is what? Deceit. So if you're not going to speak deceit, you got to speak truth. But we got to understand one thing. What is truth? I mean, really, that's the crux of the matter. If we're going to speak it, we got to know what it is, right? I mean, that just makes sense. Although there are a lot of people out there that are talking about stuff they have no clue what they're actually talking about. You guys ever seen them or heard them? Okay, they're out there. So I thought, well, we'll kind of study the aspect of truth for a minute first before we actually get into the concept of speaking truth. And so I thought, well, where better to start than the dictionary for truth? So we look up the word truth. Dictionary.com says it is the true or actual state of a matter. I got to reading that a couple of times and I thought, man, that's actually pretty concise, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, it is the true or actual state of a matter. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought about, well, truth is actually kind of simplistic in its nature, isn't it? I mean, truth is the real, is what they might say. It's just one set line. It's there. It is truth. It's been there since the beginning. Been there since creation, truth. And that truth is found in the concepts of God himself. Amen? God is truth. His word is truth. Everything he lays out for us is truth. Truth, in and of itself, is what everything we stand for hangs on. Look with me, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. And we know this text. I mean, we've studied this text. We've seen this text about the armor of God, putting on the full armor of God. And we've probably even broken it down into each individual piece and talked about all the characteristics of each piece. But obviously today I'm focused in on one, and that is this belt of truth. And so let's read this, verses 13 through 17. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He starts off right off. Take that belt of truth. And the reason he did that is because that actually is what the rest of the armor hinges on. Our righteousness hinges on truth. If we're in a lie, then we aren't righteous, are we? You can answer, it's okay. Well, of course not. Okay? So it's all about being in truth. And the truth is refined down. See, there are different aspects to truth. Everything from our faith, our hope, our lives relies on us being and existing in the realm of truth. So why is it that we have to be reminded to speak it? That's a good question. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay? But he says here, or he doesn't say, truth is neutral. Truth isn't bad. It isn't good. Truth is just truth. It's reality. It is the reality of who we are and what we are. The thing about truth isn't found in its substance, but only, truth isn't found in its substance, but in only two other avenues. One is how it's brought, and two is how it's received. Truth isn't angry, right? Truth is just truth. But yet, it results in anger, doesn't it? A lot of times. Okay? So let's look, first off, let's look at how it's delivered. So now we're going to talk about us. Okay? So the us factor in this is, and this is really the only thing we can control in the concepts of truth, one, knowing truth, but who, is how we speak it, how we deliver it. So let's look, if you will. Let's look actually in Ephesians still, in chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. Okay? It says here, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Hoorah! As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. Okay? But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I'm big on words. I like to see how something is said, don't you? I mean, look what he said there. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. He's telling us there that the truth and us being able to speak the truth in love is the concept of our growth, isn't it? It really is. Speak the truth in love. It's the centerpiece of our growing up. We are the new creation. Amen? I mean, y'all are real, right? We're part of the new creation. Amen? I mean, I was born again, right? I was immersed into Christ and raised to walk in the newness of life. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? Well, then, if we are, why do we have to be reminded? See, we're coming back to that same point, aren't we? Why do we have to be reminded? I want you to speak the truth in love. Remember, we're talking about how it's delivered at this point. You got to speak the truth in love. It doesn't mean candy coat it, does it? It doesn't mean water it down so that it might be acceptable, and so you might also be acceptable. It literally means you're going to do it in love, but you got to preach the truth. You got to speak the truth. And that's to one another as well, isn't it? Not just to the world. I mean, we're more than happy to go out there and tell the world the truth, right? We're going to go out there and just nail them to the wall. I love that. Jay said something about the other night, you know, truth seekers are out there and different things like that. But we're going to take that truth and we're going to slap them right in the face with it. Right? I mean, we're going to knock on their door, and as soon as they answer, we're going to tell them, you're going to hell, man, and I want to tell you about Jesus. That's truth. Isn't it? Well, sure it is. That is absolute truth, because they are. And you do. Okay? But that's not actually speaking it in love, is it? But again, back to ourselves. We also ought to be able to speak the truth in love to one another. Right? I mean, we are the truth seekers. Okay? We are the ones in which the Holy Spirit of God dwells. We actually found truth. We found the basis of reality, didn't we? We found the real God. Isn't that the church's claim, the Church of Christ claim, Christ's church? We found the reality that is God. We found the bare bottom truth. See, because there is truth, and then there is truth. Okay? There is the truth, and then there is my truth. Or your truth. Or their truth. Okay? We have to get down to the bare minimum, bare bolts truth. And we did. We have found the church. We have found the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 25. And it says this, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." You see, he's actually talking to the church, and he's continually having to remind the church, right? Speak truth. I mean, are you going to be exhorted by me giving you a slight truth? Is that how we build one another up in Christ? I mean, if I told Mike that, you know, "You look good for an old man." Right?
Where's the
look good part. You know. No, in reality, though, I mean, really, we've got to be able to be truthful amongst the church, don't we? I mean, that's what we're here for. This is a gathering of one body, one set of believers, one whole, right? We are members one of another. And we got to be able to speak the truth here. And, you know, we're more than willing to speak truth out there, but we got to lay things on the line here in love, don't we? We got to do it here just like we do out there. See, I would rather you told me I was wrong in love than let me be wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? And so oftentimes, I'll be the first one to admit this. Jay's trying to train me. But I actually don't like confrontation. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I'm not a confrontational kind of guy. You know, we all have different quirks and different personality aspects. But the reality of it is, man, we got to be willing to be able to speak the truth, no matter if it brings conflict or not. And then the other side of this coin is how truth is received. See? And that's the part that has all the variables. Right? Because you know as well as I do, and I preach this all the time, man, people's reality is dependent on their perspective. Okay? And their perspective is dependent on their position. You understand that, right? So wherever they are at when you're talking to somebody, wherever they are at mentally, wherever they are at emotionally, that's how they're going to take what you bring. You guys understand that? Okay? And if you're married, you definitely understand that. That's not a funny. You guys are sitting there thinking, that's a funny. No, I'm serious. Okay? Because husbands and wives are one of the key elements to help us to understand each other. To help us understand, no matter how something is said, it might be received the wrong way. And I'll tell you what, I text a lot. I do, man. But texting is one of the worst ways to communicate feelings and emotions and all that wonderful stuff because it never comes out right. Okay? And it's always taken wrong. And it depends on where you're at. See, truth, receiving of truth, isn't always conflict-free. When you go out in the world and you begin to preach the truth to the denominational world, you're going to run into conflict, aren't you? You're going to run into people that are obstinate to your cause or to your teaching. You're going to run into people that do that kind of stuff, man. They are against what you're trying to say because it is against their version of the truth. See? And you can't help that. As much love as you can pour into the truth, you can't help how people receive it, can you? But they can. See? Jay brought up truth seekers. Right? Truth seekers take the truth. Don't they? They want the truth. That's why they're called truth seekers. I know that's a hard concept to get sometimes, okay? Even in Christ's day, look at what all God had to go through. What all God did in order to bring people to the understanding that what Jesus even was doing was truth. You guys understand that all the miracles and all the things and all the things that he performed, walking on the water, all that stuff, was for them to be able to see that he is the truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but through me. And so he had to show them. And so all of these miraculous things were there to actually prove to them, I am truth. Look, if you will, at John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And we all know this story, you know, right? It says this. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came by to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And of course, we know the rest of it, right? Where Jesus starts to talk to him about being born again. Okay? But I wanted to look at Nicodemus' first statement. When he got to God, he didn't say, I believe. He said, we. We know you're of God. He was talking for the other Pharisees, right? He says, we know that you're of God. See, they knew that he was telling them the truth. The bare bottom draw line truth that we found. We know he was telling them the truth, that he was the Son of God. And he was telling them the truth in the pathways of salvation. He was telling them the truth about his coming kingdom. He was telling them the truth about all of these things. And yet they still managed to shout, crucify him. They still managed to murder him and deny him and put him to death. Even though they knew. And we know many times through the scriptures when he was talking about miracles and talking about all those things. He said what? Or they said what? We can't deny it. That don't mean we're going to follow. You see, the other thing about truth is that in the end, it is absolutely 100% undeniable. Isn't it? You can't get away from it. You can't escape it. It is truth. That's the reality of what we face. It's undeniable. But even though it couldn't be denied, they hated Jesus and crucified him. So what's the key to receiving truth the right way? And this is for the church. What is the key to receiving truth the right way? It's kind of funny. We were talking in the assembly at Pandora this morning. A man named Roger Ridinger had the lesson this morning. He was doing it on forgiveness. And of course, the debtor and how he was forgiven. And then he went and choked the other servant, you know, which was kind of cool. And so we started talking about forgiveness. And one of the things that was brought out, that I brought out to the group there was this. I said, forgiveness, true forgiveness, okay, is founded in the absolute denial of yourself. That makes sense? I mean, true forgiveness. Because there are guys there talking about, well, I can't be around this person, or I can't go around this person, or I can't do this. And they were really open about all these things. And I said, well, true forgiveness is the absolute denial of self. Well, isn't that really the cornerstone for true truth? Because you can't have God's truth and your truth. Remember, God's truth is just this plain level. It's not angry. It's just fact. And then I add my elements, my desires, my opinions, my whatever's in the process of all this. And so now this truth gets to be about this wide. That's a pretty good path to walk, right? There's a lot of truth in there. And a lot of what I like. Okay? Well, it's the same thing in every aspect of Christianity. The deal, or the reality of being able to receive truth, is being able to remove self. And see, that's what we're trying to get the world to do. But in many cases, we still have to try and get the church to do it, don't we? Because we talk about it all the time. You know, how society begins to filter in the church, because that's who you're bringing in, that's who you're winning. And there, it takes time for a lot of times for them to get that out of their system, you know, to get rid of that baggage, to unpack that luggage, however you want to put this. But the reality is, it needs to be done. We need to get rid of ourselves. We need to get ourselves out of the way. It's not just about being able to speak truth. I mean, you look at the church at Ephesus back there in Revelation, he said, man, you guys are bringing it. You're deposing all those guys that call themselves to be apostles, and you know they're not, but you've lost something. You lost that first love. Well, the first love, I mean, we could put a lot of different things in there, right? The first love is faith. First love is evangelism. First love is really truth, isn't it? Not just being able to depose somebody or being able to tear them down, but being able to actually bring in truth and love and thereby allow them the opportunity to deny themselves. Right? How they receive it's going to be on them. And same thing in here, brothers and sisters. We are seekers of truth. That's what we claim to be. And we ought to be able to bring truth out to one another and not have it be a conflict, but have it be a time where we can become greater and better than we've ever been before. And more solidified in one. Truth, everything hinges on truth. He has to tell the church, don't lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self. Stop lying to one another. And, you know, we could go into the whole concept of what is a lie. Well, let me tell you. Okay? Just some common attributes of a lie. One lie is this: withholding of any part of the truth makes it a lie. That makes sense? If I give everything and leave out immersion, it's a lie. I could tell, and we see it all the time, don't we? We see it in the denominational world, man. They tell you everything except immersion, and they say it's the truth. Well, it's a lie. Well, it goes, that concept fills in every aspect of life in and of itself. Withholding any part of the truth makes it lie. It's deceiving. It's not bringing it all out. And see, that's one of the things we run into a lot of times, is we're willing to bring truth to a point to one another and to those outside, right? We're willing to bring truth up to a point, and we're going to say, this is truth, this is truth, this is truth, and I'm going to let it drop right there. I've done it before myself. I'll be honest. You know, young Christian life, you take them so far, and you know they're starting to get friction there, and so you just kind of say, okay, and you let it go. But you got to stay on the truth, man. You got to keep speaking truth in love, so that they can hear and have the opportunity to change. And see, no matter what, we have to understand is that the truth should never be candy-coated. Truth seekers want to hear the truth, no matter the sacrifices it may bring in their life. See, people are afraid of the truth, aren't they? They really are, man. They're afraid of the truth. Because the truth is going to require a lot of times change in their own life. And people already want to think they're where they should be, don't they? I'm good. We had one lady one time. I worked at McDonald's. It was about 175 years ago that I worked at McDonald's. And there was a lady. She was a manager. And I remember her very clearly. This is one of the things. I was about 2 weeks old in the faith. And I take that back. I was about 2 months old in the faith, roughly. And, you know, I was exuberant for God. I wanted to tell her about Jesus Christ, right? So I said, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus. And she said, don't talk to me about Jesus. Me and God, we've got an understanding. I was like, I'd like to know about this. You know, me and God, we've got this understanding. No, you don't. You know, that's what I'm talking about when we start talking about my truth versus real truth. Truth seekers are not afraid to speak the truth in love, and truth seekers are not afraid to hear the truth either. And I mean all the truth. See, it's one of the characteristics that it may bring conflict. That's a sacrifice I have to make. Right? I mean, I don't like conflict. I don't know anybody that actually likes war. I mean, if I have a conflict with a possum, I shoot it. You know, and then the conflict's over. Nobody likes conflict, so you have to sacrifice what you like or what you don't like for the good of truth. That's what truth is. Truth is just truth. Right? So are we willing to? Are we truth seekers? I mean, we can look through the scripture. We can look through all, I mean, there are so many mentions of the word truth and being true and all these wonderful things. We can do all that. And we can take, I asked my wife, actually, before I came up, I said, what time am I supposed to be done? She said, 4. I said, I don't think so. Okay? But it's really just a simple question. It doesn't take a long time to ask it. Are you a truth seeker? And you're not afraid to speak truth. And you're not afraid to hear it. We're going out into a world that will hate us for the truth. We are. We're going out into a world that doesn't want to hear it, predominantly. But we're also going out into a world where there are truth seekers. Right? Sometimes I feel the same way. I got a heckler. That's the beginnings of amen. Right? But those are the ones we're going out to get as the truth seekers. Man, she must be a harbor. I'm sorry. Okay? If you don't want to hear the truth. But your faith hinges on truth. Their conversion hinges on truth. Our hope hinges on truth. Our righteousness, our salvation, everything hinges on truth. So let's just speak truth. Anything other than truth is a lie. It's that simple. Thank you.